to talk this morning about the gift from 1 Peter chapter 4, and there's two verses that I want to read to you, 1 Peter 4 and verses 10 and 11, and let me read this out loud as you read along quietly. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what we were just doing, right? Offering him praise and dominion forever and ever. That's what we did in worship. That's a doxology in the scriptures. That's a conclusion that he's just saying, isn't God awesome? Isn't God? He really is all that, and we can praise him and honor him in his goodness. Well, let me pray, and I want to speak just for a few minutes on the gift. Dear Heavenly Father, we seek to glorify you this morning through the music, through the message. And Lord, as we leave this place, as we apply your word to our individual lives, I pray for each individual that's here. I pray for families. I think of our community, our church, the Choice family here. May we better understand who we are in you, the beautiful identity that you have spoken into us that sometimes we fail to see in our own life. And may we come to grasp that at an even better level today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wrote a little statement here, and I hope you can just grasp this as you leave. And so this morning I want to talk about everyone has abilities to serve others for the glory of God. Everyone has the ability to serve others for the glory of God. And that's what we're going to really talk about for a few minutes this morning. I'm going to share some stories from my past. I grew up in church and I always attended church. My dad became a Christian when I was very young. My mom had already been in church, and so we went to church regularly, and we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, special meetings, all those kind of things. Some of you probably went to church like that as well, and so church was really the center of our life. And so often the pastor would get up and would say, you know, we need somebody to serve in the nursery, we need more Sunday school teachers, we need people in the choir, we need whatever the case would be. And they would talk about the importance of getting involved and finding a ministry, and we have needs around here, so we want people to serve and get involved. And so I was sitting where you're sitting, and I was probably about 14, and I thought, why don't those people get involved? Now, I knew God didn't have a ministry for me. I knew I didn't have anything to offer. Sometimes there were things in my life that weren't pleasing to God. You know, kind of felt like I just didn't deserve to be used. And I certainly didn't think I had any abilities and skills to be used by God. And so I just discounted myself immediately. So I knew that God wasn't talking to me, and certainly the pastor wasn't referring to me. But I just looked around in our congregation. I thought, why don't those people get involved? Then there came a day when I realized that I was one of those people as well. I was probably about 19. I'd gotten out of high school. I had made some transitions in my life, moved away from some of the partying years in high school and just post-high school, and I was kind of going in a direction. I was serving God, but kind of serving myself, and there was a fork in the road, and I realized, you know what, I need to make some changes in my life. And so I started getting more involved with a lot of the young adults that were in our church. And the next thing that happened, they asked me if I would be an assistant first grade Sunday school teacher. They had a boys class, they had a teacher, they just wanted an assistant. And I said, well, sure, I can help out with that. And so I became an assistant. And then after a little while, the first grade teacher became the second grade teacher. And so there was an opening. And they said, Tim, would you consider teaching the first grade boys? They didn't train me. They didn't give me any ideas. They just said, here's some curriculum. And, you know, just to, you know, go in there and teach them the Bible. And so I went home and started looking through that. And I tried to have my regular personal time with God through even as a teenager and stuff. But then I got into the Bible and was preparing it to teach somebody else. And I realized, man, I'm learning even more about the Bible, not just studying it for myself, but as I began to teach it to other people. And I began to see those things my Sunday school teacher taught me those things really were in the Bible. That is true. Jonah really was swallowed by a whale. There was a flood. God created the world in 7 days, and I just believed the Bible, but it just became new to me in my life. And so I was a first grade teacher, and then they said, Tim, would you consider working with Awana? So I became the fifth grade teacher of boys. I taught Michael B. Craft and two other boys. It was a small group, but I worked with Michael and Rusty and one other fifth grade boy. And so I was teaching in Awana, and then they said, would you consider getting involved in some other ministries? And then working with junior high and then senior high and young adults. And through that process, as I worked for my dad's construction business, I had memorized a Bible verse. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3, and it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. See, one day everything in this world is going to burn up. It's going to melt. It's going to be recreated, and all the sin's going to be gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? And God began working in my heart and said, you're building these construction buildings, and one day they're just going to burn up. And I have a different calling for you. Now, my brother still runs that business. It's a fantastic trade, and that company has helped many churches over the years. But God began speaking to my heart and saying, you know what? I have a different calling for you. And it took me a couple years because there were people who were saying, well, Tim, God's calling you to the ministry. And I thought, is this what God is calling me to do, or is this what people want? Maybe I just kind of am bored with what I'm doing or whatever. But God just continued to work in my heart. And I offered myself to God. I said, God, if this is what you want, if you want me to be a preacher, I will do it. I will use the gifts that you have given to me to serve you. My pastor encouraged me to go to a certain Bible college, and so I went up to Chicago to go to this school. And one of my fellow students began talking to me about spiritual gifts. And he asked me what kind of spiritual gift I had. And I'd grown up in church, but I'd never heard anybody talk about spiritual gifts before. I had no idea what they were really talking about, which is probably not uncommon, because in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. The giftings that God's given to us, the abilities, the talents, the skills, and those abilities that God has given to us. And I was ignorant of it. And he said, what kind of spiritual gifts you have? I said, man, I don't know. Up to that point, I just was taught, you know, the preacher's preaching, and the harder he preached, I guess the more fervent it was. And so, man, you know, he'd say, you need to go out on visitation. So we'd go out visiting. You need to get involved in this ministry. And I just got involved. I said, yes, 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 and was doing all these different activities and just thought, well, you know, God just wants you to meet needs. And I think that's a good thing to do. But I really wasn't focused in what I was doing. I didn't understand what the abilities that God had given to me were. And as it says here, I don't want you to be ignorant about the giftings, the abilities that God has given to you. I think there can be a lot of ignorance about spiritual gifts. And I think, you know, I really misunderstood that. And so when I started Choice, I thought it's very important for people to find a ministry. I knew that God had done a great work in my life, not just by attending church, but by serving in the church, really being a part of that body, allowing God to do a work in our life. And I thought, as radically as my life was changed, I want other people to sense the same thing. I want other people to know that God is at work in their life. It's not just coming to church and hearing, but it's living it out and doing those things that God would have as well. And I began studying 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 that talks about spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4 talks about spiritual gifts. Romans 12 talks about spiritual gifts. And then the passage that we just read, I began understanding what God was saying. And this is probably the most concise passage about spiritual gifts. So I just want to kind of give you a layout and offer some basics here for a few minutes as we look at this idea. Because spiritual growth, ministering to our congregation, reaching out, and doing all these things, the Bible really becomes that energy that we need in our life. You know, I could go to church and leave, and maybe I didn't read my Bible as aggressively as I really needed to, but when I got involved in ministry, I realized I needed to be connected to God. It's like your cell phone. When you have your cell phone, you could have the best cell phone of all, but if it loses its power, if the battery isn't connected, it's not going to do very much good, right? I mean, it could have a lot of power. or a lot of abilities, but without the power, it can't accomplish it. You may be very skilled, you may have great talents and abilities, but if you're not connected to the source that God wants, we're not going to accomplish everything that God would have us to as well. So I began encouraging people to get involved, saying that you can make a difference. Over the years, we've used that term, making a difference and making an impact, that getting involved allows us to have meaning in life and significance. It gives us confidence. It gives us a reason to get up in the morning. Too many people get up in the morning so they can eat breakfast and go to work, so they can come home and eat dinner and go to bed, and then they get up and go to work so they can get a paycheck, so they can pay for their food, pay for the transportation, pay for a place to spend the night so they can get up and do it all over again. And I realized that life has to have more significance than just getting up in the morning and living and surviving. We've got to have passion. We've got to have purpose. We've got to have meaning and significance in this life. It's not just about us surviving or thriving in the goals and plans that we have, but really living out God's purposes in our life. Do I know what God wants for me? Do I know why God created me and He gifted me? He gave me these abilities. Why He allowed circumstances to come in my life to kind of bring me to the point I am right now in my life? Why did God allow those things? Because He has a purpose and a calling for your life, just like He does every other person in this room. And I don't want you to be like me. You said, man, yeah, God has a purpose for all those other people, but discounting ourselves and not thinking that God has a certain plan for your life. He has giftings for every one of us. You may have heard the story about this guy named Steve that started a technology company a number of years ago. And he knew he needed some strong executives. So he met with this guy named John Sculley. John Sculley was an executive with Pepsi. And he asked John if he would come to his company and help oversee it because he felt this was an up and thriving company that could really change the world. But John kept saying, no, I don't want to be a part of that. It's not something that I want to do. And one day he got frustrated at John, and he said this simple statement: what do you want to do? Do you want to sell sugar water the rest of your life or a chance to change the world? Well, John said, that passion, that idea really got to him. And John said yes to Steve Jobs and helped Apple to become the powerful company that it did one day. You know, what are we going to do? Do we really want to change the world? Do we want to make a difference? Do we want to make an impact? Or do we just want to get through every day, just surviving? I believe that's why God has given us spiritual gifts. He's given us a shape for ministry, our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personalities, the experiences that God has given to us. He has, as we see in this passage here, God has given to every man these giftings and abilities. So I want to just break this passage down for a few minutes and talk about the gift so we can be that team that God wants. Not this Wednesday, but the following 3 Wednesdays. Well, we're going to be off for the day before Thanksgiving. But as we get into December, we have 3 Wednesday nights. And we're going to be talking about how we can use our spiritual gifts. And so we have an online discipleship tool called Ministry Grid. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to sign up. If you don't get our current emails, because we'll be sending an email, please get on the list. You can fill out one of the cards in the chair in front of you, or you can send an email to us, and we'd like to get you signed up for Ministry Grid. And for 3 weeks, we're going to look at 6 videos, and they're just short little video clips, and we're going to be talking about how we can find a ministry and be good stewards of those abilities that God has given to us. And we're going to be studying that throughout December. So I want to encourage you to look at that. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And what this verse says again, it says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I said this earlier, but everyone has abilities to serve others for the glory of God. Let's start with that first word, everyone. See there in verse 10 again? As every man, it's talking about every human, every individual. Is anybody not included in every here? Any exceptions here? No, I mean, that's what I felt like I was the exception. But he says, every one of us, as every man has received the gift. And this is not talking about the gift of salvation. It's talking about the gifts and abilities that God gives to us through His Spirit after we become a Christian. There's no exceptions. We're not too young, not too old, not too good, not too bad. Every one of us. Now here, I got an exercise for you, maybe two right now. I want you to look to the left and right of you, and maybe even before you and behind. All right, look at those people. All right? Guess what? That was a little scary, wasn't it? They're part of the everyone, okay? They're one of the everyone's. Good. Pastor Steve just poked his wife, said, yeah, she's an everyone. Maybe that's a good idea. You're one of the everyone. The people that are behind you are an everyone. The people in front of you are an everyone. The people on the left and right of you are an everyone. That's all of us. Now, last night I encouraged the church I spoke at to do this later, but I told them I was going to do this in the service. So Pastor Steve normally during the music time has something for you to say to somebody. And so now I'm going to give you an opportunity, something I wasn't allowed to do growing up, to talk in church. Okay. I'm not saying I didn't do it, but, because the funniest times are when you shouldn't be laughing at church, you know, and you think of something funny and you want to whisper it right and you're not supposed to say that or whatever. But anyway, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share, but this is what I want you to do. As everyone has received the gift, or the ability is what that word means, would you look at somebody around you and tell them one strength that you have, all right? What is a strength that you say you have, all right? Maybe it's a little difficult, but go ahead and do that right now, all right? So we got to hear some noise. Look around you and say to somebody, maybe on your left and on your right. Was hers good, Raven? Did she have a good one? Oh, you go first. Okay. James and Cheryl, have you already done yours? All right. All right. What is an ability that you have? All right. No talking in church anymore. Oh, now we're done. But here, listen. Too often we say, well, I can't sing, and I can't teach, and I'm not outgoing to be a greeter, so I just can't do anything in church. But there's so many things that you can do. I mean, it's not just the public ministries, as we're going to be looking at in a second. Everyone has been given these abilities. You have received this gift, and God says you are included in that. So everyone, all right? That means you're included. Every single believer, he's talking to Christians here. Once you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you and he gives you abilities. Everyone, now here's the second part of the phrase, has abilities. The word gifts is talking about spiritual gifts and abilities here. From the time of Adam and Eve, God gave them roles and responsibilities. Remember, he told Adam and Eve, I want you to go take care of the garden. And throughout history, his creation has had roles and responsibilities. Along with that, he has given them strengths. And in those strengths, he wants them to use those strengths and abilities to serve God and to serve others, right? That's a great commandment, love God and love others. That's what we're all to be doing. Throughout history, that's what mankind was to be doing, serving God and serving others. So he gave every one of us strengths to be able to serve him. But now, let me say this. When God created Adam, God said there's something not good. Every day of creation, he created something, he said it was good. He created something else, it was good. Throughout the 6 days of creation, he said it was good, it was good, it was good. He gets to the sixth day, he creates man, and he says, there's something that's not good. Now, I got married when I was 25. I really wanted to be married at 22 was sort of the goal. I felt I was a more mature young person. I don't know if I look back at my life, if I could see where I was, maybe I'd say I was very immature or whatever, but I thought I was going to be married young. I was kind of financially set with working, emotionally set, spiritually right, and I was looking for my wife to come, and she didn't come till I was 25, and so during that time, I thought there's something that's not good. I didn't like being single, and I certainly didn't like the dating aspect either. Man, that was pretty scary to me, but anyway, it's not good to be alone. That's what God said to Adam. Why? He said, I'm going to create Eve, this suitable helper, this helpmeet, this one that has strengths that you don't have, Adam. This was not after sin came into the world and we had flaws. This was before Adam and Eve sinned. God created Adam in a unique way with strengths, but he also had weaknesses. And so he created this beautiful woman, Eve, who had strengths that he didn't have. And they were to complement each other and to work together as a team. Now that's really interesting. So God creates us with strengths so we can serve others, and with weaknesses so we have to rely on others as well. See, if you are an independent individual, you know, you can pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You're kind of a self-made man or woman. You can do these things on your own. You feel like you can get through life. You have it figured out mentally. You know where you're going. You know what everybody should do. You know, you're kind of smart or have great abilities and skill, and you're somewhat independent. You struggle with that. And you know what the Bible calls that? Pride. You know, I'm somewhat of a private person. I don't mind just hanging out in my own little world. I really enjoy my humor and my thoughts and those kind of things. I can just kind of entertain myself, I guess, in life. And I laugh at my own jokes. You don't laugh, so that's why I kind of like that private world and stuff. But anyway, you know, I don't mind being alone. And I am somewhat independent, and I struggle with sharing. I don't like people to do things for me. I remember years ago, we were building a building at the church I grew up in, we were doing an outside construction project, and the guys were going to 7-Eleven to get a big gulp, and they said, "Hey, Wilcox, you want a drink?" And I said, "Sure." And I said, "Here's a dollar for a big gulp." And he said, "No, I'll get it." I said, "No, I want to get my own drink." And he said, "Wilcox, why don't you let somebody do something for you?" And it was a point where just God said, "You know what? You can't make it through this life on your own. You can't just be so individualistic that you have it all together. We need each other, okay? Every one of us has abilities. And God has also given us strengths. He gave us strength to serve others. He's given us weaknesses to rely on others. That's why God created family. That's why God created church. The body, none of us have all the abilities, but you have unique features. And as we serve together, you are different than the pastor. You are different than your parents. You are different than your spouse. You're different than your friends. And God wants to use those unique abilities. Everyone has abilities. And we're not to focus on our weaknesses. I know I can be good at that. Think, man, I wish I could preach like that person. I wish I was a theologian like that person. I wish I was more outgoing like that person. Man, I wish I had this ability like this person. Have you ever kind of compared yourself with other people? And you compare your weaknesses to your strengths, but rarely do we compare, unless we're, you know, self-focused, focus on our strengths to other people's weaknesses. But God has given everybody strengths and everybody weaknesses. And he wants us to come together and work together as a team. Don't focus on your weaknesses. You know, how many quarterbacks focus on how they can tackle somebody better? How many pitchers, as we were watching the World Series recently, were focused on being good batters? They weren't good batters, were they? Because they don't get paid to be good batters. They get paid to strike out batters, right? A quarterback doesn't get paid to tackle somebody. He gets paid to throw the ball or to hand it off. And those individuals could focus on their weaknesses and never accomplish everything they need to, or they could focus on their strength. And that's what God wants us to do. You say, well, but my past, or, you know, I don't have this ability, I can't do this or that. Who cares? God has brought you to the point that you are at in your life. Through the moment of conception, God determines so many factors about you. And through the events and circumstances of life, God has guided you to where you are right at this moment. And he has given you abilities, these gifts. And the word gifts there is the word grace that we often see in the New Testament. The word grace means abilities, it means giftings, and it also means joy or happiness. These abilities God gives to us so we can serve him and serve others and find joy and meaning in life. That's what the word gift means. As every man has received the gift, the natural abilities, the learned abilities, the spiritual abilities, God has given every one of us different gifts and different types of gifts. Look at verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So he's saying, I'm giving you a broad picture. Some of my gifts fall under the speaking, the more upfront categories. This could be a singer. This could be a speaker. This could be somebody welcoming other individuals. They could counsel. They could do encouragement. But they're more upfront. They're the types of ministry we kind of look at our face. That's the thinking ministries, the talking ministries, the compassion, the sharing, the direction, all of those aspects. And he says, if any man speak, here's what I want you to speak about. Speak about what's in the Bible. Don't speak about your preferences. Don't speak about what you think. Well, you know, this is what I think, or this is what society thinks, or a whole lot of people. And he says, that's not what I want you to speak about. I want you to speak about the scripture. Speak what the oracles of God or the word of God has to say. Those are the more upfront type ministries. Maybe you're a more upfront type person. You have those abilities. So he says, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, that word means to serve. It's more of a behind the scenes ministry. There are things that many people do behind the scenes, right? There are people serving in the nursery, and they're changing diapers, and they're taking care of our little ones. Maybe they're even playing some games with our toddlers and preschoolers. Maybe they have our younger elementary, and they're doing some type of craft, or they're teaching a Bible story and doing some of those things. And some of those areas, those assistants, they're more behind the scenes. The reality is somebody came in before you got here and made us coffee this morning. Somebody cleaned the facility. Somebody set some chairs up so we'd have a place to sit, right? They took care of all these things. Somebody paid the light bill. Somebody gave so that light bill could be paid for. All those behind-the-scene aspects were taken care of so we could be here at this moment. So I could speak publicly, but if those things behind the scenes weren't taking place, you know, you probably wouldn't want to stand up the whole service, right? You could do it, and throughout history, many people have stood during a whole service. They could stand for hours. We even see that in the Old Testament. But, you know, if you have a chair, why not sit down, right? It seems like a pretty good idea. And somebody did that behind the scenes. Those are the ministering roles. And he said, as you minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. So everyone has abilities. Those areas that make us unique. Some more up front, some more behind the scenes. We all play a different role. Now, why do we do it? Look back at verse 10. We do it to serve others. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want you to minister to one another. Remember, as we look throughout the New Testament, what's the golden rule? What's the aspect of ultimately caring for others? It's to love our neighbor, isn't it? It's to minister to other people. How do we live out us using our abilities? It's by building other people up. It's by caring for other people. It's by helping them to accomplish those things that God would have them to accomplish. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to minister to other people, which is very difficult to do in a private world. And you've got to step outside of your comfort zone. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to come up to the pulpit. Doesn't mean you should sing a special. It doesn't mean you have to serve on the welcome team. But it could mean that God wants you to do something like that. But he has some way of you using the abilities you have for you to step outside your comfort zone so you can minister to other people. Some people are really good at letter writing, and they send notes in the mail or send a quick text. Somebody sent me a little note the other day, and I've told you that I'm pretty self-motivated. I kind of do my own thing. I don't think I need a whole lot of outward encouragement to do what I do, but boy, I really appreciate it. And those that during Pastor Appreciation Month that told the staff how much they appreciate them or did something nice. We appreciate it. We really do it because we love God and we love you, but we do appreciate encouragement too. And we like to be encouraged just like you do. But we do it to serve others. Verse 8 says this, "And above all things have fervent charity." So how do I minister to others? I have fervent charity. Fervent is like the word effervescent. You know, what was the plop, plop, fizz, fizz? What is that? Alka-Seltzer, yeah. You know how they said it, the medicine has this effervescence. It kind of is fervent. It's bubbling up. That's what that word means there. It's bubbling up. I want you to have love that bubbles up inside you and emanates to other people around you. Now, not everybody here is Don Bailey. I thought I'd hear an amen. And no amens there. He's not here. We can talk about him. It's okay. But not everybody here is, you know, that super charismatic, outgoing person. And that's okay. But we are to allow the love of God to come out and to be demonstrated and experienced in the lives of other people around us. Every one of us has abilities to serve others with this fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Isn't that beautiful? Love or charity covers sins. Anybody sinned in here this past week or two? Yeah, a few. And your hand was up first, so I appreciate that. Yeah, so good. We all have failures, right? But you know what? I am so thankful for the grace of God that offers forgiveness, and I'm so thankful that there's other people that provide grace, aren't you? And Jesus was filled with grace and truth. We're to have this fervent charity. And then verse 9 says this, use hospitality one to another without grudging. To have a grudge, you ever have a grudge towards somebody else? You ever get upset at somebody else, want to talk about them and criticize them? And he says, you know what? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to have hospitality. The word hospitality just means to love other people. The root word really means to love the stranger, to love somebody that you don't know. It's one thing to love people that we're close to, that are like us, that we get along with. And God said, I want you to love the people that are different than you. I want you to love everybody. I want you to love the person that you struggle with. I want you to love that person that's too loud or too quiet or whatever the case would be. I want you just to love people. So everyone has abilities to serve others. For what reason? For the glory of God. Look at verse 11 again. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified. Wow. Why are we to love other people? Is it because they deserve to be loved? Not necessarily. There's been plenty of times that I wasn't very loving towards my wife. I remember one day this family would fight a lot, and they were friends with our kids and stuff. And one of my kids says, my parents really don't fight. She said, well, I don't believe that at all, because they had knockdown dragouts. I mean, they literally, I mean, yeah, just an unhealthy situation. I don't believe they don't do that. She said, no, they don't fight. Now, we've had a lot of disagreements, but here's why we haven't had many fights over the years. Because when I come home hungry or not having my expectations met and I don't like something that's going on in my personal life or going on at home or whatever, and I come home and I'm kind of a jerk and I'm kind of talking in a rude way, this is what Paul has always done. I'm not going to talk to you right now. Yeah, what do you do? That's pretty good, isn't it? How do you win in that one, right? Yeah, at times I try to keep picking to try to maybe get her to, you know, stirred up or whatever, but she just said, you know what? I'm not going to talk. She didn't want to have a home that hollered and fought and didn't get along, and she would just would respond that way and be like, you know what? I need to do an attitude check. I need to have an adjustment in my own personal life. Now, why could she respond that way? because I'm always what I should be? No. There were times she would say, have you had your devotion today? You know, like, and that really, you know, that's constructive criticism. I just said, it's just criticism. I don't really want to hear that, you know. But, you know, who wants somebody to out-spiritual you, you know? And so I'm the pastor. What does she, you know, what she know or whatever? But why could she do that? Not because I'm everything that I should be, but because we do it for the glory of God, right? So how can I love the unlovely? Because that's what Jesus did. And we're to be like Jesus. And everything Jesus did, he did it to the glory of God. Everyone has abilities to serve others for the glory of God. We do this, as verse 11 said, that in all things he may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, how do we glorify God? Through Jesus. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. That's the doxology. God has given every one of us strengths and abilities to serve him. And he gave them to us to not just serve him, but to serve others. And by outwardly doing that, we show hospitality and fervent charity. In that, he would be glorified. Could you imagine? Christmas is coming up. You found the perfect gift for your child. You put that gift under the tree. Christmas morning, they open that gift up. They look at it and say, thanks, Mom and Dad, and they set it back down, never to pick that gift up again. And they don't use that gift. You'd be let down, right? The reality is God has gifted every one of us with abilities. And if we pick it up and we discount ourselves and say, well, I just not really good, and we set it back down. Do you imagine the heart of God? He gave that to us, that we could minister to others, that we could have joy, that we could understand our calling and our passion, our purpose, how we can make an impact in this world. So let's not discount the gifts that God's given to us. Let's use those abilities to serve him effectively. Right before our invitation, I got a note this week. Over the last couple of weeks, I've challenged you to give to our benevolence fund. It's called our Philippian Fund. And we have several areas where we want to minister to some people in our church family that have some real needs. And just what I've been praying about was that we would get about $3,000, and we're well on our way. I got a note the other day, over $2,600 has come in just over the last couple of weeks. And so I think it'd be great if we go over that $3,000 mark today. And if you would, just as the offering plates are passed later, these funds aren't going to the church. It's not going to benefit me or the church ministry necessarily. It's just a gift that's passing through so we can minister to some other people. Wouldn't it be great if we have thousands of dollars where we could just give to minister to some people that really have some needs? And you can, out of the abundance of your heart and the blessings that God's provided you, can give just a little bit extra to minister to people, because every one of us have gifts and abilities to serve others for the glory of God. Let's pray. With our head bowed for just a moment. We've looked at this passage, and God said he has given every one of us skills, abilities, and talents. The moment that you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And what's the purpose? To build ourselves up? No, it's to serve other people. So what are those abilities that God has given to you? And for just a moment, as you bow your head, God gives us these gifts upon the moment of our salvation. And my guess is there would be somebody that's here this morning is not certain about heaven. Maybe you know that you've sinned against God. Maybe you understand that Jesus died for you, but it's just a story. It's just something that's been taught, but he hasn't become your personal Savior. There hasn't been that time in your life that you called upon his name and received his gift of salvation. And if God's stirring your heart this morning, and you'd like to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you could pray a prayer similar to what I prayed when I was a teenager, when I said this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and right now, I ask you to come into my life, forgive my sins, and take me to heaven when I die. If you came with a spirit of repentance before God, and you asked him to be your Savior, you trusted in him and him alone for your salvation, he has just forgiven you, and you have a home in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Through the death, burial, and resurrection, we can have eternal life, and we can have meaning in this life. Maybe you know that you're a Christian, but you've been discounting the abilities that God's given to you. Why don't you pick up that gift? And whatever those strengths and abilities are, let's not be ignorant of them. But let's use them. Every one of us have abilities to serve others for the glory of God. Let's take up those strengths. And with fervent charity and hospitality, serve others. No grudging, no bitterness, no unforgiveness. We take it up to serve you and to offer you praise. God bless during this invitation. In Jesus' name.